Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast 20 on I Felt a Funeral in My Brain by Emily Dickinson. The first heading then is subject matter. So the first poem by Emily Dickinson on your course is I Felt a Funeral in My Brain. The poem's title informs us that the poem is about a funeral, but what is unusual about this poem is that the funeral is experienced and narrated from the perspective of the person who has died. Dickinson therefore imagines her own funeral. The poem takes us through the various stages of her funeral, from mourners threading into the church for the funeral mass, to the non-stop rhythm of prayers and hymns, to the moment when her coffin is carried to the site of burial and lowered into the deceased's final resting place. The next heading is theme. The poem explores the theme of death and details some of the rituals that are involved in a traditional funeral service. The poem seems to build towards some moment of revelation, which is anticipated by the speaker. But at the very moment just before some new understanding of death can occur, or some breakthrough or insight into the afterlife can be felt or expressed, the poem concludes abruptly as the plank in reason broke. In quote 3, think about any three lines or phrases in the poem that you found interesting or strange or confusing. Perhaps you could choose a quote that made you consider death in a different way. Or was there a phrase that you found chilling or frightening? Briefly explain why you find your selected quotes interesting. Some very powerful and memorable phrases might include boots of lead, kept treading, or being but an ear. You should choose whichever lines, phrases, or images that made most of an impact on you. We move on then to the fourth heading, which is imagery. Most of us have probably attended a funeral, perhaps of a family member or of a good friend or neighbour. Therefore, we have pictures in our heads and memories of what a funeral looks like and even feels like. Dickinson creates several images to capture what her own funeral might look like, but also what it might sound like and what the experience might feel like. Some of the images are indeed very cold, stark, and chilling. The image of the mourners shuffling into the church gives a feeling of claustrophobia. We can imagine them as a tightly packed group shuffling respectfully into the church. The image gives the poet a feeling that some sense, or perhaps some understanding, about her own funeral is about to break through. The simile in stanza 2 is also interesting. Dickinson says that the reciting of prayers feels like a drum beating endlessly and monotonously until she feels her mind was going numb. She also uses a simile in comparing the heavens to a bell in stanza 3, which emphasises that the knelling of the funeral bell feels so intense that it's as if the whole world has been reduced to just one huge tolling bell. The image of the mourners as boots of lead links to the image of the deceased inside the coffin being but an ear. Her funeral is being captured through sound and sensation. The word being here may refer to the verb, or may also refer to the noun, as in human being. That is, the poet imagines being reduced to just an ear as she listens to the service taking place outside her coffin. An interesting and original metaphor can be found in the line, "And then a plank in reason broke," in which Dickinson compares her reason to a wooden board or plank which has split under pressure. Yet another powerful image is that of the speaker and the silence at the graveside, both described as wrecked and solitary. This emphasises the speaker's isolation and alienation from the mourners just before her soul makes a transition out of this world. The next heading on your worksheet is language. Many readers find the language in this poem to be quite challenging. Sometimes we wonder, what are we reading at all? Or what is the poet describing? Or how is she feeling? Some of the language is unsettling, and we may be unsure at first as to whose perspective is being described in the poem. The language is attempting to capture the sensations of the deceased at her own funeral. Phrases such as "sense was breaking through," "my mind was going numb," and "space began to toll" are in themselves composed of easily identifiable words. However, in the poem, they open up many possibilities of interpretation as we, a bit like the poet, try to figure out what is going on. Perhaps this is what Dickinson intended. The reader, like the deceased, must experience the bleak, chilling sensation and realization as outlined in the poem and suggested by the language. We all must have to climb inside the coffin ourselves and imagine as Dickinson imagines. If the poem was a film, the screen would be black as the camera would be inside the darkened space of the coffin and only sound would be captured. That is the chilling effect which Dickinson achieves through her bleak language in the poem. The next heading is form. The poem is composed of 5 stanzas, each of 4 lines. This structure is common in a ballad form, but also in the church hymns that Dickinson would have been familiar with. The rhythm of the poem is very regular. You'll notice that most lines have a regular beat. For example, line 1 reads, "I felt a funeral in my brain." This is a line which has 8 syllables in it. Similarly, line 9 reads, "And then I heard them lift a box." Again, this line has 8 syllables. There is a pattern to the rhythm. Generally, the first and third lines of each stanza are mainly composed of 8 syllables, while the second and fourth lines are composed of 6 syllables. This is similar to the meter or rhythm used in church hymns and seems to be especially appropriate for a poem which explores a church funeral. Note too that the regular rhythm echoes the sense of the funeral service, which was beating like a drum. Dickinson also uses several dashes in the poem. This type of punctuation may signify a pause, a moment for the reader to reflect on the experience and sensations of the speaker. Repetition is also evident in the poem. For example, the repeated use of "and" moves the narrative forward and quickens the pace of the poem. This creates a kind of tension between the dashes, which seem to signal a slight pause in the poem, while the repetition insists that the narrative moves forward. We come then to sound. So Dickinson uses a regular pattern of end rhyme in each stanza, with lines 2 and 4 rhyming. Some of the rhymes are examples of perfect rhyme. For example, in lines 6 and 8, drum rhymes with numb. Other rhymes are half rhymes, such as in lines 18 and 20, down rhymes with den. Sound plays a really significant part in this poem. Remember that Dickinson imagines in line 14 that inside the coffin she is reduced to being but an ear. There are several oral images in the poem, therefore, from the mourners treading into the church, to the service beating like a drum, to the creaking sound made by the boots of lead on the church floorboards. Furthermore, once the pallbearers lift the box and remove her coffin from the church, the speaker feels as if the whole world has been reduced to a bell and she has been reduced to an ear. Such is the intensity of the sound. The next heading is tone and mood. The imagined experience in the poem is certainly something quite disturbing for the poet. She feels as if her mind is going numb. She feels a creak across her soul when her coffin is carried from the church. She also feels wrecked and solitary at her burial plot. And after a plank in reason broke, she hits a world with each downward plunge of her coffin as it is lowered into her grave. You will note the use of some very forceful and even violent verbs here. No wonder then that some readers interpret the final line to suggest that the poet possibly faints from the intensity of her imagined experience. The poem's mood is what you felt and thought about as the poem was discussed. Did you find it obscure and difficult to connect with or even engage with? Maybe you found the whole poem to be frightening and eerie and something perhaps you'd rather not think about. Finally, we move on to personal response. Certainly, some students think it is a disturbing poem. Maybe it brings back difficult or painful memories. Others may find the insights of the poem to be quite bleak, but also interesting. Overall, thinking back on the poem, what is your own personal response? Did the poem raise some issues or questions for you? Were you puzzled or perhaps troubled by anything in the poem? Do you believe that people sometimes think about their own death and funeral? And why? Does the poem make us confront our own mortality? Perhaps you appreciated how the poet has used language in the poem to create such chilling sensations of death. Did you find any images to be particularly original or creative or effective in the poem? Don't be afraid to make your own personal response to this poem, but do try to support your response by close reference to or quotation from the poem.